you've arrived at Earth 919.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Earth 919, a comic book podcast for number one reviews and comic book news. I'm your host, Matt. With me, as always, is my co-host, Ian.
And I'm the co-host, Ian. What's up, Matt? How are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. This is, feels like we skipped a week because there's just so much news here that we got to get through this week. We also have three comics to cover this week.
Yep.
Lollipop number one, Sparrowhawk number one, Umbrella Academy, Hotel Oblivion number one, a Venom movie. But before we do any of that, let's get into some shout outs. Ian, take it away.
Alrighty, so shout outs for this week. I have three. First shout out goes to Superhero Plus. Superhero Poll Plus, that's at Superhero Poll on Twitter. They've been promoting our polls this week, and they've been kind of blown up, so we appreciate that. Also want to give a shout-out to More Gooder Than Podcasts. They've been friends of the shows for a while. You can follow them at MGT Podcast. Check them out if you love movies or pop culture, and yeah, they're just funny dudes. And lastly, want to give a shout-out to Comics The Gathering, which is the comic book shop in Spanaway, Washington, home of Earth 919's Comic Book Box. Check them out. Tell the owners Matt and Jesse we sent you. You can follow the shop on Instagram and Twitter at Comics The Gathering, and that's spelled C-O-M-I-K-S, The Gathering. Or you can hit them up on Facebook, facebook.com/Comics The Gathering. Remember, come for the comics, stay for the games. That's all I have, Matt. You ready to do news?
Yeah. So we got our first look at Jon Favreau's Star Wars live-action show. It will be titled The Mandalorian, and we got to see some Mandalorian ish stuff. So this is going to be set in, as already established, it'll be set between The Last Jedi, Return of the Jedi, and Force Awakens. It will be about a singular lone gunslinger Mandalorian. I don't think we got a name. And this is going to be, it's estimated that there's going to be it's going to be $100 million for 10 episodes.
Is that 10 million episode, right?
10 million episode, yeah.
Ooh, man, that's a lot. Okay, yeah. I have a couple questions for you about this.
Sure.
Does the name Sabine Wren ring any bells to you?
Sabine Wren, yes.
Yes.
And
okay.
she is from Rebels.
Yep.
Frankly, I don't think she's gonna be in this. I think maybe she might be referenced, but I'm hoping this is a new character. And it's so funny because Star Wars people are always like, oh, we want to see like different things. We want to, you know, we don't want to follow the Skywalkers anymore. We want to get away from all that stuff. And then it's like this Mandalorian thing comes out and it's like, oh, is Sabine, like, is it immediately they want it tied back to an existing character. It's like, let's see a new guy. And this guy looks badass. He looks like maybe he'll redeem the Boba Fett look, I guess. I mean, Boba Fett didn't need the look redeemed, but maybe he'll be, I don't know. It's just, I like the concept. This is so far outside. Do you know much about Mandalorians or anything like that other than
I know that movies? All I know is that, is it Jango Fett was a Mandalorian, correct? And
correct.
Sabine Wren, and they were like the only two that survived of their race. Is that correct?
Yeah, so this kind of, Rebels kind of explains why there's no more Mandalorians, because
right.
like Boba Fett and Sabine were kind of the last, and I'm not going to spoil Rebels, but
please don't.
They're, you know, it's, there's a big war that happens, you know, before the trilogy, and that, I mean, that's not spoiling, that they're gone, so that's probably why. So this is going to be really not much more details. It's just going to be kind of a dude. I don't know. I don't even know what to say. It looks great. I'm excited for this.
Okay, let me ask you this, Matt. Are you more excited for this, or are you more excited for the next Star Wars movie?
Ooh, that's a tough call. Probably for the next Star Wars movie, because I didn't put this in the news, but I mean, I guess we could talk about it too. I'm excited to see maybe some, in my opinion, a little bit of redemption for some of the things that happened in The Last Jedi. I personally like The Last Jedi, but I'm looking forward to seeing.
We don't understand how, but continue.
I'm excited to see how JJ wraps up a lot of these stories.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is going to be a pretty epic movie, and I'm looking forward to it. So I probably more so, but that's because it's a more known quantity. But then, you know, going forward, give me The Mandalorian, dude. I'll take it.
Okay, so put it on the poll. What are you most excited for? Star Wars live-action TV show on the Disney streaming service or the next Star Wars movie? What was it, episode episode 9?
9, yeah. Right, I guarantee 9's going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's... It's just because everybody, it's going to be the, it's supposed to be the culmination of 3 trilogies. So that could either go off amazing or it could go off really, really bad. But either
we'll
way,
see. Yeah, I mean, I wasn't big on Last Jedi, and I'm probably more excited for this. Jon Favreau's got, I mean, you know, he's got that pretty good record. He's had a couple duds, but for the most part, I've enjoyed everything he's done, and I think this show's going to be a hit, man. I really, really do. I think this is going to be one of those ones that we look back and be like, remember that show, how sweet it was?
He's got a track record of kicking off universes.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. So, I think this has a lot of potential.
He's a great director when he does something that he's interested in. When he doesn't care, he just totally checks out. But when he's interested in something, when it's something he's passionate about, he's great. And I'm excited to see what he can do here because I really do enjoy him as a director. Chef is a great movie. Let's move
on. Yes, it is. Chef is a great movie. Continue.
Yes, it is. It's a really good movie. I'm going to jump around here a bit if you're following on the notes here, Ian. But the Boys, we got our first teaser. So it's the Voight company who's kind of they're more like a PR kind of group. It's basically a commercial for them. And then we get to see our crew, the Boys, flipping off the old TV there.
Okay, so Matt, have you finished the series? I got a couple questions for you. Finished the series?
I've not finished the series, but I'm familiar enough to answer some questions.
Right. So this to me, I don't know, maybe you could better explain this. From what I've read about the story and the book, the Boys has, from my understanding, kind of a cool, interesting concept to it. Kind of a dark, from what I read, grittier concept. But in this trailer, it didn't really seem very dark and gritty. It kind of almost had like a more like, I don't know, the end music at the end when it showed the crew was like Boys Meets World or something like that. Like, it just, I don't know, it seemed kind of cheesy. So could you maybe, I've never read it, so could you maybe enlighten me on the tone of the book? Because that's just what I got through reading the synopsis of it.
Yeah, Ryder Strong popped out of the back. He was like, oh, hey, guys, what's up? Hey, Corey. Yeah, so The Boys is basically, it's a world where there are superpowers, and the Boys are essentially, well, okay, so in this world, the superheroes are terrible. I mean, like most non-DC and Marvel comics with superheroes, it's like these people with crazy power are usually end up being like terrible people because powers are indiscriminate and gets them. So you get like really, really, I mean, really terrible people get powers. And the Boys are there essentially to keep them in check and to blackmail or extort if necessary to get them to do things that they need to do. They work for the government. I don't think they work for the Voight company. It's been a while since I've read the book, but they're a government agency.
Did the book have like a dark tone to it, or was
No, the book's very dark. I mean, it's like dark humor. There's a lot of dark humor, so it's probably going to be, what was I going to say? So it kind of reminded me of, I was going to say RoboCop comparison, but that's just because of the commercial. Oh, and Elizabeth Shue's in this. She's awesome, and she doesn't look like she's aged a day.
Carl Urban's in this, man. There's a lot of good names attached to it.
And Simon Pegg is now in this, too, so they're bringing back the Enterprise team. But so originally, and I don't know if you know this, Ian, there's a character named Huey, and I think that's his name. I'm pretty sure that's the name. And I sound like I haven't read the book, but it's been a while since I've read it. He was based off of Simon Pegg, but he was originally going to play the part in like the movie that they were going to make years and years and years ago. And now he's a little bit older. So now he's going to play Huey's dad. So that's cool. But I'm looking forward to this. This is too much of a teaser to really give you a hint of how the show is going to go. So,
I didn't think the teaser really gave much, man. And that's I got way more from reading the synopsis that I read online and got a better tone for it than watching this the trailer. Although I did think it was kind of cool and I thought it was interesting. And I mean, I kind of knew the synopsis of the heroes were bad. So the whole time I was sitting there waiting, like, you know, when's this going to turn? And in my head, the whole time I was watching it, I was thinking, I bet you this is a commercial. And sure enough, it was. So, you know, the Invincible show is supposed to be on Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to watch this then. I'm going to have to watch it. It'll all be together, and I'm keeping my Prime membership, so I got to check
this
out.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll never get rid of Prime. Just, it's too easy to keep.
Yeah, seriously.
It's that one transaction a year that I always forget about, and then then I got to deal with that. So
I don't know. It's worth it. It's worth it, and I think this series will be a good little addition to that. We'll see. I got to read the comic. It's Vertigo, right?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah.
So we've got a Hellboy poster. Actually, now, well, when I wrote it down, it was a poster, but now it's a banner. And apparently a trailer was shown at New York Comic Con.
NYCC.
To good reception. Didn't seem like people were crazy about it, but not in a bad way. It just, what everybody said, yeah, looks good. But this looks, this is exciting. He's got a sword. He's got horns. You get to see Mila Jovovich. She's going to be the Blood Queen. Are you, did you ever catch up with any of the other movies?
No, still haven't seen them, but I'm 110% down for this movie. I'm excited. I read that Mike Mignola is like the producer and one of the writers for this movie, and I'm really pissed because I didn't ask him about it. When I saw him at Comic-Con, I didn't realize that he was writing the story, so that sucks. But I'm really excited for this because I know his writing style is awesome, and I think that he'll have a good story in mind for, you know, like a two-hour interesting story that you're going to need. But I don't know if you know anything about Hellboy and his horns.
No. Oh, well, yeah, he files them down because he's trying to hide. Or he's embarrassed of him or something. I don't remember.
He's like, basically, it's like he files it down to stop himself from becoming the demon that will take over the world.
Hmm.
So, supposedly in this movie, he's letting his horns grow out because he needs extra power.
Hmm.
That's like the rumor, which I think is kind of cool and I think is interesting. It's supposed to be a really dark movie, so
They said it's going to be more horror focused. So looking forward to that. Horror, not horror. They're not going to focus on horrors.
The other ones were a little more campy, but I still enjoyed them. Or I still enjoyed the first one.
Yeah, I really, really encourage you to watch the originals before you watch this, because I have a feeling that the other ones... I just recently rewatched two, and it was... While it was still good, and I still enjoyed it, I can definitely see how this is going to change the way that the originals will be looked at, because the originals, you know, are a bit campy and they're a little bit goofy in certain aspects, but they're still good. They're just I could see how somebody could see one and then have a hard time going back and seeing the originals.
But it's like the original Batmans. I mean, they're a little campy too, but still good.
Yeah. Well, a little bit of sad news, Ian. Scott Wilson, you'll know him from playing Herschel on The Walking Dead. He was in season one of Bosch. I mean, just a long, long filmography. He passed away this week at the age of 76. Do you still watch The Walking Dead?
Have you seen The Walking Dead?
I stopped watching after the second season when he was introduced as a character.
Oh, man.
Not because of him.
Yeah, no. Oh, man. Man, when Herschel died in Walking Dead, that was a tearjerker, man. That was a rough, rough episode. That was a tough one. I would suggest anybody who hasn't seen The Walking Dead, the first three and a half seasons are really, actually really fantastic. That's where I stopped watching, and I loved it, but then it just got repetitive, and I don't know. I'm sure other people on here will be like, oh, I can't believe you say that. Walking Dead's great, but I'd be willing to watch it again. I'd be willing to go back, but I just couldn't get down with the dying of the characters, and I realize the comic book is the same way, but I'd probably be more interested in reading the comic book and then maybe checking out the show. But Matt, are you sad that he's gone? I mean, I imagine you are, but do you know him from any other roles, the role that sticks out to you in particular?
The most recent thing I saw him in was Bosch. He played kind of like an amateur paleontologist, I think. He was really good in that show, and he's been good in everything he's ever been in. It's just, it's really sucks to see someone like him go. But it sounds like he died from complications with leukemia, which is too bad. But yeah, too he bad. Was he'll be missed.
Yeah, you will be missed, Scott.
Next we've got, I forgot he was in Justified.
Hard turn, show. Matt. Hard turn.
Yeah. Anyways, we've got quite a bit of Marvel news here. So we've got an Into the Spider-Verse trailer 2. Now, normally I wouldn't be covering a second trailer, but we're going to be doing it twice this week and for different reasons. This one mainly because it seems to heavily imply that Johnston's Spider-Man, is the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. Now, did you see that, Ian?
I did see that. At least I noticed it in the trailer.
So the rumors from some people who have seen early cuts of this movie are that this, by all accounts, is going to be a good movie based off of everything we've seen. The movie is essentially just an expanded version of the trailer in that the tone and the general everything that people like about it carries over. But that, it's kind of crazy that they would tie in Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. But I kind of like that idea because it is essentially they're taking a lot of plot elements from Spider-Verse. Or what was it? What did they call it? It was just called Spider-Verse, right? Dan Slott run?
Yeah, or Spider-Island?
No. Spider-Island was completely different. Spider-Island was when it... Spider-Island was when... the guy who... Miles Warren, I think. Anyways, the clone guy, he gives everybody spider powers and then turns them into spiders. This Into the Spider-Verse is when Doc Ock Spider-Man or Superior Spider-Man and Peter Parker back in his body Spider-Man, they all go and fight Morlun and his family and essentially pull Spider-Men's from different universes. So this movie seems to be like it's taking a lot of story elements from that.
Yeah, I noticed that in the beginning, the way that Miles and Spider-Man meet in the trailer, it seems very similar to Spider-Men, the series where Miles and Spider-Man cross over, because there's a machine that helps transport, in the comic, Peter Parker into Miles' universe, and then that's kind of how they cross over, and that's exactly what we saw in the trailer, so I like that. I like that they kind of included that, because that's a good storyline, and I thought there was potential there, and... I don't know how you feel about Spider-Gwen. I meant to ask you about that. I am really excited to see all the different types of Spider-Man. I feel like maybe this movie's going to be more kid-oriented, though, than I originally thought. But I'm still really excited to see the movie, because it's Miles, and he's my favorite. But what do you think about Spider-Gwen? Because I've never asked you that question.
I take it or leave it. It's got a market. It's just not mine. You know, I don't really even care for Deadpool in the comics lately. It's become too, it's just a little much for me. It's funny for like 10 minutes and then it's a little too much. That's why, I mean, it takes me the whole 2 years from each Deadpool movie to like finally build up the wherewithal to go watch another Deadpool movie. Every time I love it, but it's like, if I had to watch that nonstop, I would kill myself.
There's one of the characters from the Spider-Verse. It's like a version of Peter Parker, but it's female. And she's like a scientist, mm-hmm. and instead of being Spider-Man, she builds like a robot. I don't know if you've heard of this or not. It's written by Gerard Way. And it was during the Spider-Verse event. It's like a one-shot series, I think. For anybody who's... curious, it's a really good series, you should check it out. But I think I saw that character was in the trailer too. I could be wrong, but I thought I saw that, and if so, I'm even more excited for this, because that was I like that. It was kind of an obscure comic
That was in the trailer.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool.
The Spider-Mech thing. Yeah.
I think this movie's going to be awesome, man. But I might have to wait a couple days, because it comes out during the holidays to see it, but I'll definitely be there to see it. You know I love Miles. He's my dude.
Yeah, I was actually been thinking how cool it will be if they bring him into the universe. But anyway,
taking him long enough, man. Yeah, but, sorry. Let's move on.
So Marvel is apparently developing, or the rumor has it that Marvel is developing a Dark Avengers script. For those of you not familiar with Dark Avengers, after the events of Secret Invasion, in which the Skrulls have replaced numerous people, there's a war, Norman Osborn details will be left out, but saves the day. And then he replaces the Avengers with some of their greatest villains. So Hawkeye is replaced. So the villains dress up as the heroes. So Bullseye is Hawkeye. Mac Gargan in the Venom symbiote is Spider-Man. You've got Moon. What's her name? Dr. Moon? Miss Moon? Moon something?
I don't know, but I know what you're talking about, but I don't know her name.
Anyways, she's Captain Marvel. So they all just, and he's Iron Patriot, and it's just a sham. They still keep committing crimes. So this kind of would...
Good description.
...lend to... They're probably going to do a Secret Invasion soon, if this is true. But what are you most excited for? Seeing Norman Osborn, or...
I don't buy into the rumor.
You don't think so, huh?
No, don't think so. I think that if so, how much storyline would need to get set up in order for this to work would take a while. And the way that they set up Thanos, it was really secretive. I want to also point out to you that Avengers 4 comes out in however many months it comes out in, and we still have, like, zero idea about what's going to happen in that movie. They've been so secretive about that. So I really find it hard to believe that we're getting rumors about, you know, like, Dark Avengers. But if this were to happen, hypothetically, would I be interested to see Norman Osborn? Absolutely. I'm ready for him to enter the MCU. I just feel like it's going to take time for him to enter the MCU. And I want to see him be built up, you know. I don't want to see him just be thrown in there and, okay, here he is in Dark Avengers, like, you know. He's got to fight Spider-Man first, obviously.
Well, yeah, I think that this is... If they're really thinking about doing a Dark Avengers movie, this could be like 10 years down the road. And they are mapping out that far. So I could see them over the next few... You know, over the next decade. I mean, God, it's already been a decade now. It's another decade. You know, them building towards this. And maybe, you know, instead of... Now they first went cosmic with Thanos. Now maybe they'll go, you know, more earthbound with Dark Avengers. I think that would be cool to see. You know, they're introducing the Skrulls. They could potentially move into a Secret Invasion storyline. And then, you know, maybe... I mean, seriously, like 10 years down the road, we could be talking about a Dark Avengers movie. And I would be really compelled. And if they get to that point, that means that they've developed a Norman Osborn and some villains that are compelling enough to mostly carry a movie.
All right, so just wait 10 years. Matt and I are going to be hosting the panel at San Diego Comic-Con for the Dark Avengers film, 2030. Just save the date.
Let's make that our goal. Host the panel.
Save the date.
We can do it.
Yep.
Well, you know who can't do it, Ian?
I don't know who can't do it.
Can't do it any longer. Chris Evans is done as Captain America. No. He had a really classy goodbye to the character as he wrapped filming as Captain America 8 years. And he was in First Avenger, Avengers, Civil War,
Winter Captain Soldier. America
2. Did I say Civil War? I said... Why did I say Civil
you
War?
You said Civil War. I don't know. Age of Ultron. We already said Civil War and Avengers 4.
Yeah. That's a long time, man.
And he's technically in Thor 2, technically.
Technically, he's in Spider-Man as well.
That's a good point.
So he... long career for creating the definitive version of Captain America. He will be known as Captain America probably for the rest of his career.
Absolutely. Well, and that's why he wants to direct now.
Yeah, well, good for him. I mean, he did a great job, and I just... So do you think there's been a couple rumors he is going to die, or he's just going to kind of go off into the sunset? What do you think is going to happen to him?
I think he's going to die. I read this post on Facebook, actually, and it was somebody who wrote out what the ending of Avengers 4 should be, and I was reading it, and it was one of the best things I've actually ever read. It was so good how well this person wrote this story, and I thought it was just me, and I read, like, the likes, and there was over, like, 3,000 likes, and people were saying, this is amazing, you should send this to studio. Basically, people were saying, or he was saying that Tony goes to sacrifice himself to save the Avengers. Captain America basically tells Tony, no, I'll die for you. Iron Man gets upset. He's like, no, don't do that. And then, you know, Captain America tells him, it's okay, you know, like, I want to do this. And then Tony in that moment realizes why his own father respected Captain America so much. Captain America dies. And then after he dies, he wakes up and then he sees Agent Carter, like in the flashback of Age of Ultron 2. So that's what I think is going to happen, because I do think that's actually a pretty good way to kind of end it.
I think whatever it is, he's done. I don't think he's going to come back. Really, really hope that they have Bucky pick up the mantle. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I loved when, in the comics, after Civil War, Cap was gone, Bucky took over. It was great. And I wish they had kept that.
I think that's going to be the next logical step, man. I really do.
That or some combination of him, whatever it is, I really hope they give Sebastian Stan time to shine. But I hope, even if he becomes Captain America or Anthony Mackie becomes Captain America, I hope it's a buddy cop movie of them together. I hope it's the two of them in the movie. That would be the perfect way to kind of be a palate cleanser from the other Captain America movies, and I want it now.
It would be awesome, and I think either one of them could be Captain America, and I would be happy about it.
Yeah, me too. I think they both are prepped, but I think Bucky, well, they both have the precedent. I don't know. I do not know. They've given
Bucky
a pretty...
They're the only two characters in the MCU that have ever held Captain America's shield other than Captain America.
When did Falcon hold it?
I'm pretty sure he did at one point in The Winter Soldier, but it was like for a second. But, yeah. But Bucky has carried it more, technically.
Yeah, Bucky had it in Winter Soldier and in Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, so Ian, the title for Avengers 4, notorious spoiler of all things Marvel, Mark Ruffalo. I personally think this is a publicity stunt, but he was on Jimmy Fallon. He apparently accidentally leaked the title of Avengers 4.
Oopsies.
Yeah, and then rather than like calling Jimmy Fallon's agents or something, publicly goes on Twitter and says, oh, please bleep that out. So this is probably a publicity stunt.
It absolutely is. Have you not met Mark Ruffalo? He does this all the time.
No, man. He's just this crazy guy who dresses up like a weird clown and tricks Jason Momoa at Comic-Con. What a goofy guy. If I was ever at Comic-Con, I'm just going to start ripping masks off. Are you Bryan Cranston? Are you Mark Ruffalo? Are you Henry Cavill? Where are you?
Who else did that? Daniel Radcliffe did that once, too, dressed as Spider-Man at Comic-Con. Yeah.
Do you mean Andrew Garfield? He did that.
Andrew Garfield has done it as well, but I'm pretty sure Daniel Radcliffe did it as well.
Oh, God. that bit is old and tired.
Yeah.
People went crazy with this and way overanalyzed this. Somebody actually, they took the bleeped part out and were able to figure out what his lips said. And it was apparently Last Avenger, which I don't think it's going to be because that would be too close to The Last Jedi. But it's also rumored that it could be Annihilation. Frankly, do you even care? Or are you just content to just wait?
Give me the movie. I don't care what it is.
Exactly. I'm in the same boat. Like, who cares? Let's not speculate. Let's just wait. I don't sit by my bedside waiting for, you know, Twitter to tell me what it is. I'm sure we're going to... As soon as we find out, the entire world is going to blow up for, like,
but who cares? Days. It's ancillary. Like, I think it's dumb because we're already aware that Spider-Man is coming back. What are they going to kill off Black Panther? What are they going to kill off Doctor Strange? No, right? So I think at this point we kind of, unfortunately, it's going to be a little bit predictable, but it's going to be cool to see how it unfolds. But at this point, I just don't care about the title. Just what was the last Avengers? Infinity War, right? I mean, just, I don't really care. It could be anything. It could be, you know, Sunrise or Avengers, the dawn of the Skrulls or whatever, and I would be like, okay, for sure. Captain Marvel Rises or something, you know, cool.
Well, that and there's a rumor that this Avengers 4 takes place 5 years in the future, which is something we've already heard. There's even some set photos of Cap with a little salt and pepper beard or hair or something, or Tony with salt and pepper hair. I don't remember who it was. I don't think it matters. I think that we've already well established that it's going to be probably in the future. Things haven't changed, and the Avengers are going to have to go back somehow in time and try and stop whatever happened or change things. Maybe it's Avengers Back to the Future. Avengers,
that would be, there
turn
you
back
go.
The clock.
That you know what? I would be 100% on board for that.
Avengers Back to the Future?
Biff, what are you doing here? All right. Ready to move on?
Yeah, so we got a trailer. An Aquaman 2 trailer. And like I said, I don't think we need to cover second trailers, third trailers, blah, blah, blah. That's annoying. But let me tell you something, Ian. When you get a 5-minute Aquaman trailer, you don't sit on that shit. You talk about it. Because you've got a classic suit. You've got pee jokes. You've got deserts. You've got Black Manta. And you've got people talking underwater.
Oh my god. Matt, this trailer was awesome. Like, it was so long. The action was great.
Oh, hold on. Talon, I didn't know you came on. Talon, are you there?
Whoa. Hang on. You gotta let me finish. Can't interrupt me mid-thought. Trailer looked awesome. Was amazing. I love the action. Thought it looked organic. Wasn't the CGI mess at all, which was one thing I was really paying attention to in comparison to the first trailer. But you have warned me. Everybody listening, Matt has warned me, and you know this, 3 times now you have warned. Well, maybe BVS we didn't get on record because we weren't doing the podcast at the time, but that was one trailer I thought was going to be awesome. Let down, right? What was the one after that? Suicide Squad. Let down. Huge let down. This is the 3rd time, and I don't want to be getting my hopes up anymore. DC is great at doing these trailers. They love doing the trailers, but Matt, you've warned me. That's their bread and butter, and usually the movies suck, so I'm not going to get my hopes up on this one. Although it looked good.
Yeah, you got a classic suit. It looks fine. I don't think it needed to be 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Good God. I don't know. I don't have much to say. We've got comics to cover. You done?
I was done.
Okay. Let's get into these comics because we still got a lot to talk about. Let's talk our first comic. This is Lollipop Kids #1. An Aftershock comic by Adam Glass, Diego Yapur, colors by DC Alonso, letters by Sal Cipriano, maybe. When immigrants come to the new world, they didn't only bring their hopes and dreams, they also brought their monsters. Years ago, early settlers locked these monsters away in a secret prison deep in the woods of New Amsterdam so that they would never return to the old world again. Those woods have become Central Park, and now the monsters have escaped. Nick, 14, finds out that he is a legacy, a secret society that has lasted for 400 years to keep these monsters in check. He and a ragtag group of kids just like him have to put the monsters back before they get out of the park and destroy the city. Ian, go ahead.
So, much like that introduction that Matt just read, this book, it's written by Adam Glass. Many of you may not remember, some of you may. Adam Glass wrote a book that we covered over 1.5 years ago for Aftershock Comics. It was called Normals. Matt, you and I, we actually really enjoyed it a lot. And so coming into this book, I recognized his name and I instantly remembered Normals. So I was excited and I was hoping that this book was going to live up to some hype. However, the story right off the bat, when it's following the main character, it's very monologue heavy. It's just the main character walking through New York and he's explaining his relationship with the sister and how they relate to each other and all these sorts of things and his dyslexia, and then it goes into the character the writer apologizes for his monologue and it just keeps going. So I don't know, the book was difficult to get into right at the start. The art was all right, but it fell a little flat. I just it left a little bit to be desired, but those are just my general thoughts. Matt, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, so I think I'm going to echo a lot of the sentiment you had. I thought this was, I guess I'll say, I liked the concept. I thought it was pretty cool. The inception of this book was, you know, the people from the New World brought monsters. It was supposed to be like an island to keep them away from where they were at. But then it just, there's so much exposition in this book, and he even comments on it, and then it keeps going. And then it like, up to midway through the book, I was like, okay, this is kind of cool, because obviously there's a lot of informed things that are being said here, you know, talking about the walks through the park and doing the different things, the different locations.
And it wasn't really boring either, right? It wasn't boring.
No. It was fine. Like, I thought it was really engaging. I was like, okay, this is a character that he's really thought out. And I like that. There's like this dyslexia thing, and there's, you know, we used to do this and this and this in New York and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, wow. Okay. I like this. This is working for me. But then it's like, oh yeah, I know. Isn't this guy done with an info dump? First off, didn't realize it was a guy until halfway through. Thought it was a girl, but then it goes like, it takes the exposition and like cranks it to like 10,000, because every single freaking thing that happens in every single panel as you're seeing it is being told and explained to you. I did this. I drank this. I walked here. I thought this. I looked at that. I did this. And it was like, oh my God, you don't need to tell me all this stuff. Like, there's so much telling. Just give me a little show. Like, just have a little bit of, like, respect for me as a reader to understand that I can figure this stuff out. I can figure out that they're walking through or that they're following clues or something. But everything was I. And there's a whole page of just I. I was like, I want to be done reading this. This is insane. And the biggest part of the book, the biggest problem I have with this book is there's so much explaining halfway through the book. There's, you barely get a little bit of what the actual book is about. And it was so frustrating, like, to me.
I felt like it was like two separate plots going on, man. There's one point where he's talking about his sister, and then all of a sudden he's fighting monsters, and we're the Lollipop Kids. And to me, that just kind of threw me off a lot. I was like, well, I thought he was searching for his sister. What the heck's going on here? No, he's looking for monsters? Like,
yeah, that just goes out the window.
I don't know. The tone of the story was just like here, then there, then here, then there. And then at a certain point in the book, I felt like it was just like a kid book. I realized, I'm like, is this just a kid book that I'm reading? But, I went on record, I think 2 weeks ago, saying how great Aftershock Comics are, and that's not the crap on Aftershock Comics, you know? It's just, I think maybe this book is one of those books that's falling victim to thinking, like I've said before, I want a book that has a good hook, and I think this one is just, oh, you're going to read the next issue, right? And I don't know. I don't enjoy that. So, I didn't think it was new reader friendly, Matt.
No. Nope.
I thought it was difficult to pick up. And
no,
it would
I think
be
it.
Difficult.
Man, it's really frustrating to me, because I think it had a really, really good setup, and it just really, really fell flat for me. But
yeah.
Anyways, let's move on, because we still got a lot to talk about. So Sparrowhawks, number one. This is a Boom Studios book. Writer is Delilah S. Dawson. Art by Matthias Basal. Letters by Jim Campbell. Teen, Victorian, Fairy, Fight Club. An illegitimate daughter of a naval captain, Artemisia. Okay, there we go. Has never fit in with her father's family nor the high class world which they belong to. However, when she is targeted by the fairy queen and pulled into another realm, she has no choice but to try and save the world that has always hated her. You started off this last one, so I'll do this one, Ian. I gotta say, so this is the last book I read. And I'm really glad that I didn't think we were going to have time to cover this book just with my schedule. I'm really glad I read it.
Yay, I'm glad you say that. I'm really, really glad you say that.
I just, first off, just thought this is... So we just talked about, like, what's the hook? Like, give us a hook. And having a story that has enough momentum to carry it through the first issue, to give you enough to explain to you who the characters are and get you into the story. And this movie just, this book just like moves. It moves really fast. And I had, you know, when a little bit behind the curtain, when I put these notes together for me and Ian, I copy and paste the synopsises that I find online for each book so that we have something to give you an understanding of what the book is. Sometimes these synopsises don't match up with the story that we read. That's happened a few times the past couple weeks. Sometimes they do. But most of the time I copy, I paste, I leave it on the notes, and then I don't think about it. And I go in and read these books. So when I cracked open this book, I had completely forgotten about anything that the synopsis said, because I put this together like maybe a couple days ago. And so I'm reading it, and I'm like, okay, there's like some fantastical element here, I'm sure. And it's like this kind of, I don't even know what you'd say, like mid-century kind of royal family or something. And this girl is, you know, she's cast aside and her dad's no longer there and all this stuff. And then midway through the book, I'd say a third into the book, it just like pulls you in and the story just completely flips and then it just starts chugging. And I love the art in this book. It was fantastic. The colors, this is one of two times I'm going to talk about colors a lot in this book this week. The colors were phenomenal and they really popped the story. They really worked with everything that was going on. Overall, I was really surprised at how good this book was. What'd you think, Ian?
This book was good, man. This was a good one. There was a lot of elements at first I didn't enjoy with the book. I felt like it was really slow grinding almost as I'm reading it. Like, okay, when is it going to get to the good part? I'm like reading, okay. And then boom, it hits. When she gets pulled through that painting, I mean, this story hits and it just goes and goes and goes. And it's awesome. It reminded me of Alice in Wonderland when she's going through that kind of foresty looking thing and she's being led by a creepy voice. It reminded me, I don't remember the cat's name in Alice in Wonderland, but it reminded me of the cat. Then she encounters the fairy, right? And she fights. And that reminded me so much of Samurai Jack. I don't know. I don't know if you felt that way, but it totally reminded me of Samurai Jack. Because Samurai Jack, he kind of gets pushed around sometimes when he fights too, and he'll get like a cut, you know. But then he fights harder, and it kind of motivates him. Very similar. I enjoyed that. So this book was really good, man. And I totally agree with you on the colors. The art really pulled this book together and made it what it was. I really enjoyed this book a lot. And there's not, I mean, Boom Studios, I know they have, like, Power Rangers and stuff like that, but there hasn't really been a Boom Studios book that we've covered yet that I've really enjoyed. This is the first one that I can truly say that I really, really liked. But,
one thing I just... sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say it's definitely a pick I would say that anybody could pick up and you'd love the book.
Yeah.
Or at least enjoy it.
Same boat. I absolutely... This is a new reader-friendly book. This is... I'm really excited. I love when we come across these books, especially when I'm not expecting it, because when it's like one thing if it's like a writer that I'm familiar with, because we've even covered writers that I really like, and it's like they have this new story concept. It's kind of like, okay, the book was all right, I guess. Like they're building towards something. This book is just, I love when I'm surprised by this. And one of my favorite things, Ian, is that action scene. There's three pages. And for those three pages of action, the gutters of the page are all yellow. And it just adds so... It's such a like a small detail, but it adds so much to just the overall ambiance of the story that's going on. It's just... It's so well done, so well choreographed. I really, really enjoy this book. And I cannot express enough how glad I am that we actually ended up reading it. So let's move on to our next book, our last book for the evening, and that is Umbrella Academy Hotel Oblivion number 1. This is a Dark Horse comic by Gerard Way, art by Gabriel Ba, colors by Nick Filardi, letters...
Friend of the show, Nick, what's up?
Letters by Nate Picos. Synopsis, our heroes are scattered after Sir Reginald Hargreaves' death. Number 5 is a hired gun. Kraken stalks big game. Rumor is dealing with the wreckage of her marriage. And a rotund space boy runs around the streets of Tokyo. Vanya continues her physical therapy after being shot in the head, and no one wants to even mention seance until issue number 2. So, Ian, why don't you go ahead and give me your thoughts on this one?
Oh, great. I think you did this on purpose, actually. I kind of do. It's all right. It's okay. All right. So, this book. There are many elements of this book I did enjoy. I did enjoy the aesthetics of the book a lot. I really like the art. Sonny, the art reminded me a lot of Powers, actually. And I didn't realize that Nick Filardi had done this book until I went back and looked. And I was not surprised to see, oh, well, yeah, no shit, it looks like Colors. And he does the Colors, or I mean Powers, he does the Colors on that book too. So that was great. However, when we review these number one issues, these are, we do these to, I mean, most of us don't know what Umbrella Academy is. I mean, Matt, I know you and I are aware of what it is, but a new reader may not be aware of this universe that Gerard Way has created, and our hope is that these new number ones will be jumping on points, right? Where we can jump on and be like, oh, this is this universe, and these are these characters. I felt like this book was not that. It was more so a continuation of a story that maybe had already been given.
Yep.
And there was a lot of elements and characters and events that I didn't know what were going on. So it made it really, really hard for me to pick up this book and enjoy it. But it looked good, and I like that, but I didn't understand what was going on at all. It was too heavy, and it seemed like you needed to have past knowledge. But what'd you think?
Yeah, I was going to say I absolutely can agree with you. This was a book that wasn't very interested in being approachable for new readers. You know, so this, I don't think that's really their fault, or it's not a fault of the story that this isn't approachable for new readers. I just think this was never intended to be a book that was supposed to be accessible for new readers.
100% agree with you. So, I actually wrote that exact same thing down. They weren't trying to. You know, Gerard Way's his intention wasn't to be like, oh, new person. It's, you know, it's kind of like Heroes in Crisis a little bit, kind of, that we reviewed last week. Kind of, sort of, but yeah, I guess that's a little more approachable.
Yeah, because that was supposed to be like a start of a new story with, you know, the big three of the biggest superheroes of all time. But like this one, it was just like, I was so confused with what was going on. It like wasn't even funny. And that's, again, that's not really, they weren't really interested in doing that. And that, like, I think probably had I known that, had I realized how much of a connected story this was, I probably would have said we could have skipped it. But we didn't, and we covered it. So all I can really base off of is, you know, what I've read. And, I mean, I can't really say much, I can't really speak to the story. I can't say it was a bad story because I don't know the characters, because I'm not really familiar with the Umbrella Academy world, and it's a group of books that I've been meaning to get into, but I just haven't. But all I can say is I thought the art, I was not really, didn't really care too much for it. I mean, it was fine. But the colors and again, I said it earlier, the colors were amazing in this book.
Yeah,
I mean, hands down, they hit it
out of the park on this one. I know.
Oh, everything pops in this book. Everything, and I may have not understood everything that was going on, but damn it, it looked great.
I know.
And
it's so funny. I thought the exact same thing.
And you know, this isn't like, this book didn't really get me excited for reading the Umbrella Academy. This wasn't like, oh man, now I have to pick up this book. But man, I, for a book going into it and not knowing what was going on, really, I gotta say that it was still a thrill to read. I really liked it.
It's like
it.
The art carried the story, you know, like that's what I felt like. The art kept me going. The art,
I would say,
the coloring
carried the story for me.
Oh, sorry. That's what I meant. The first story that we read, there was points like you mentioned where you were like, why am I reading this? With this book, I was wondering why I was reading it. I'm like, I don't care why I'm reading it. It looks cool, you know, like I just kept continuing on. So I totally agree with you, man. But I don't know. You mentioned earlier that you didn't know, and we might have skipped the book if you had known what this book was. But I think it's important that maybe we do cover these books, and maybe, you know, a new reader who's not familiar with this might pick this up. I want to get into the Umbrella Academy. I mean, we cover this, so now maybe they're like, oh, maybe I should skip that. Maybe I just pick up issue, you know, volume one somewhere. So I don't know. It might be helpful to somebody, but It's not new reader friendly.
Yeah, I would say definitely if you're interested in getting into Umbrella Academy, start at issue one. Don't jump in here. you're not going to know what the hell's going on.
We had no idea what was going on. So,
Ian, every single week we take the two or three books that we cover, and we make our pick of the week. The pick of the week is something that we have on our Twitter page every single week. Make sure that you go in and you vote with your pick of the weeks out of Hotel Oblivion, Umbrella Academy, Sparrowhawk, or
Lollipop Kids.
So, Ian, what is your pick of the week?
Mine's Sparrowhawk by Boom Studios.
Yeah, I'm sure. Gonna go with Sparrowhawk too. One. And make sure you let us know what your pick is at Earth919. It will be in the episode comments section.
Yep.
So, with that said, that covers our books for this week. Ian, the last thing we have to do is get out of here, because I don't want to do what we have to do next. I don't want to do it.
We have to.
One of us saw Venom and was head over heels in love with it. One of us refused to see it. Not refused, just didn't care to see it. So, we're going to be talking about Venom. And Ian saw it. And we had hoped that a friend who we'll be talking about here shortly was going to join us, but he is, in typical fashion, not here. So, Ian, let's just start off here. What did you think of Venom?
So let me get this straight. You haven't seen Venom, right?
I have not seen it, and I probably will not see it right away.
Okay, well, I would tell you that it is actually better than people said it would. It would, like, it was better than people are saying.
So,
it's significantly better. So, it's people I read on IGN, I forgot what his name was, but Joshua Yule, I think is his name. He was saying that he hadn't felt like how he felt walking out of Venom since the Green Lantern movie, which I don't agree with those sentiments.
Oh,
you know, honestly, there are points in the movie that are disappointing, I would say, but there are also some pretty cool elements to the movie, and it had its moments where you were like, okay, but it definitely struggles tonally, for sure. You could tell that there's like reshoots in there and like cut parts, and it's kind of clunky in the beginning. Takes an hour and 10 minutes to get him into this, or an hour and let me check my notes here.
Oh, that is
hour
criminal.
And 2 minutes into the film
that
before
is
he
so
is
criminal.
Donning the suit. Yeah, that was disappointing for me.
A movie specifically about a suit, arguably next to a James Bond movie, where the suit is absolutely critical to the plot. It takes him an hour and 10 minutes to get into the suit.
I felt like, it takes him forever to get in the suit. I feel like I've seen other superhero movies that take a while, though, to get the character going. But I'm not defending this movie at all. I honestly think this movie's about a C-.
Fair enough.
So, you know, for that to give you a frame of reference, that's about as high as I would give the film. It wasn't amazing, but I would say that it was better than the Fantastic Four films.
That's a low bar, Ian.
I'm not defending the film. You keep thinking I'm not defending the film. I 100% agree. When Talon was telling me how good he thought the movie was, I think he compared it to Thor Dark World.
Oh my God.
And I said, Talon, that's not a very high bar. And he said, I know, but at least it's in the MCU bar. So for that, I mean, I guess he got that, which is great.
That's low bar, too.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I told him. It's a very low bar. But Tom Hardy, you can tell he does his best, man. He really does do his best to try and save the film. It's not like he phones it in like Jennifer Lawrence in the X-Men films. He actually does try, and he is one of the saving graces of the film. If I'm just being honest, like he does do a very good job, and you can tell he's trying. He's very dedicated to the role and the character. I'm trying to think of what else I got here. Some of the characters felt forced. They just didn't feel natural. They didn't really seem like they had a place in the story, but they kind of just kept giving you those characters, and you're like, okay. He didn't swing on any webs, though, so I appreciated that. He did not have the spider emblem on his chest at any point in the film.
I wonder
why.
So
I appreciated that as well. And while there were no real clear connections to the MCU, there were also no real clear indications that it wasn't in the MCU. So at this point, I would argue that we still don't know whether it's in the MCU or whether it's not in the MCU. It is completely its own entity. So, yeah, I thought it was good. There is a great spoiler scene at the end, though. And that's all I would say. So, or spoiler, teaser, trailer thing for the next movie, like every Marvel movie has, you know. So but it's awesome.
Do you think that this movie was hurt by a PG-13 rating? Or do you think it was not hindered by that at all?
So, in the beginning of the movie has this very horror element to it. There's a scene, and I'm not going to spoil it at all, but there's a scene in the beginning of the movie that's very haunting when you watch it. I mean, it feels haunting when you're watching it. I was like, oh my god, when I saw it, and at that point, I was thinking, this movie should be rated R, but then as the story went on from there, it got a little more, I don't want to say campier, but it kind of got a little more campier after that that moment. Like, that was where it gets really dark, and then it just kind of, like, because Venom, when he's talking to Brock, and this is not a spoiler at all, but when they're interacting with each other, it's very playful at times, and it seems a little loose, in my opinion, and I that's not how I picture the symbiote talking in my head. So that threw me off a little bit. But one thing I did appreciate, Matt, they don't say symbiote in the movie. They corrected it. It's symbiote. Whatever reason, they went back and changed that. So I appreciated that. That was awesome to see. I almost stood up and clapped when I heard it the first time. Like, oh, yes, they changed it back.
Well, you're going to be getting another one because this is insane. I don't think anybody was expecting that. Well, I'm sure there were some people.
I know what you're about to say.
So it's grossed $80 million this weekend. Yep. On 39%. But do you know what it's made worldwide so far?
179 million or something like that?
Try 205 million. So it's doubled its budget. You are 100% getting a Venom 2. For better or worse, we are not getting away from this animal.
Oh my god.
And Talon is just cream in his shorts. Oh god. Okay, can we be done talking about Venom?
I put a poll up on Twitter. You can go vote on my poll at Ian Sasquatch. It is, which movie adaptation are you more excited for? Spider-Man versus Mysterio or Venom versus Carnage? So, go vote, please.
Oh yeah, there was Mysterio. We got to see Jake Gyllenhaal.
It's okay. But Matt, honestly, I do think you should go and see Venom. It's good.
Now that I don't have MoviePass anymore, like all the little like, oh, I'll just go see it. There's no harm, no foul, no loss if I go see it. Now that's all gone. Everything, there's stakes in everything now. I can't do that to myself.
I saw Venom for like $6 at 9 in the morning at my local theater. God. So
I don't even know.
I mean, to me, it was worth the $6, man. It was worth the $6, but I'm happy it did good. At the same time, though, it wasn't amazing. Like I told you, everyone keeps thinking I'm defending this movie. I'm not defending this movie. It's a C-minus. That's not good. That's on par with Amazing Spider-Man 1, and that's really bad on par. So, but I do think you should still watch it, Matt. I think it's worth the watch. So, and I did want to mention, too, I forgot to mention this at the top of the show. In honor of the Venom movie, we do have a Venom giveaway going on. It is issue number 1 and number 4 of the current 2018 Venom run written by Donny Cates. They're both signed by Donny Cates from Rose City Comic Con. In order to enter to that giveaway, you just need to retweet and follow the show, the tweet that's pinned to our tweet, and you're entered. That's all you have to do. So that's going to be going on till the end of October 31st. So just wanted to put that out there at the end. So go see Venom. And go get some free Venom comics if Venom is your shit.
And we would also appreciate Venom, we would also appreciate a review, you know, if you get a chance to do that too. That would be nice. You don't have to do that to enter, but we would appreciate it. Anyways, we've got two more segments left in the show, so let's talk about what we've been into. So, Ian, what have you been into?
So, I have been into Spider-Man on PS4 still. Don't say anything to me about the game, Matt. Don't try and ruin any of the story. I'm just... haven't gotten there yet, so I haven't gotten anywhere yet, so just I've been doing all the side missions, done every side mission. So, but I am at the point where I have to do the storyline, so I'm doing the storyline. Next, been reading Doomsday Clock recently. I'm on issue 2. So that's kind of what the new book I've been reading is. Also, I've been reading American Vampire by Scott Snyder.
That's a good one.
Stephen King and Raphael Albuquerque.
That's a good one.
I think that's the name. Yep. It's actually really good. Yeah. I'm on volume 1 right now, so I think I'm on the 3rd issue. So I'm kind of reading both of those in unison, and I really enjoy it, actually, more than I thought I would. My monthly polls are the same. Rick and Morty, Amazing Spider-Man, Outcast that comes back in December, and Oblivion Song. And, yeah, that's pretty much it for what I've been into. Oh, Pokemon Go and a Marvel Strike Force on my phone. Hmm. Venom event going on because of the movie. It's pretty fun.
Hmm.
You should definitely check out that game if you haven't played it. But that's it. What about you, Matt?
I have been into two things, and I got to recommend here. Actually, I better grab my recommend before I forget it. It's leaving my head. I'm already losing it. Dang it. Oh, yeah. So Halloween's coming up. Obviously, this is my favorite time of the year. I've always enjoyed the spooky nature. So I would recommend a book. I think I recommended a book last year with Willie. Or were we doing it last year, Ian? I don't remember.
I do not remember. I'm sure we were doing it last year.
Anyways, I recommended Batman something Suburbs. One of my favorite Batman stories. I don't remember the title, though. This year, I'm going to recommend...
Good memory.
Speaking of Scott Snyder and Raphael Albuquerque... Actually, I don't think Raphael Albuquerque did that one. But Scott Snyder did Witches with a Y. Really good series. It's just it's a short run. I don't remember how many issues it is, but it's really good. It's very creepy. Very, very creepy. And then what I've been into, Ant-Man and the Wasp is out. Very good watch. I've come to find out that every single time a Marvel movie comes out, if I'm not too keen about it, I need to just give it a few more views and then I'll actually kind of like it. So I was lukewarm on Ant-Man when it came out, and actually now I enjoy it quite a bit. So I've been watching that. And lastly is an album by one of my favorite rappers, and his name
Lil Wayne?
No, you fool.
Oh.
It's Logic, man. He came out with Young Sinatra 4, which is amazing and great, and I love it. And you should check it out. It's on, I listen to it on Apple Music, but you can listen to it anywhere. It's really good. This is supposedly his last Young Sinatra. But Logic is a very, very talented rapper. And I did not even know that this was coming out. And I stumbled across it this past week, and it had come out like a day before. So check that out.
Those are the best. Lil Wayne also came out with the album, too. But he's less important, obviously. I can't stand him. Lil Wayne?
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's not that I can't stand him. I just can't. His music, I can't. Actually, I've recently come around on it a little bit. But in the past, I just...
I've never given him a listen. Maybe I should.
You should. Someone told me a while ago that the way you listen to Lil Wayne is he kind of like almost is like a talks more so. Like it's a little different. And when I kind of listened to it that way, I enjoyed it more. So maybe you should listen to it that way. But he did come out with a new album recently. I think he hasn't come out with an album in a long time. So I think it came out yesterday or the day before too. So maybe he's trying to one up Logic. Maybe you heard about Logic's album, and then he was like, I'm going to write this in one night. Then he one-upped him.
Okay, well, I'll have to check that out then. So, Ian, what?
Nothing. Good segue, Matt.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to wrap this up. Hey, Ian, if people were so inclined to find out about your thoughts about Lil Wayne, where could they find those thoughts out on?
You can find those thoughts about Lil Wayne and anything else that I might have thoughts on or anything that I might say from my head at Ian Sasquatch on Twitter.com and Bigfoot's Uncle Ian on Reddit and PlayStation Network. And by the way, Matt, Witches was 6 issues. Where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Armchair Matt, or they can find me on Reddit at Matt is Armchair. And Ian, where can people follow the show?
You can follow the show at Earth919Pod on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook.com/Earth919Pod. You can email us and send us any comic book suggestions or questions, send us an email to earth919comicpodcast@gmail.com. That's earth919comicpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to vote on your comic book pick of the week, pinned to our Twitter, as well as our weekly polls that will be in our comment section promoting episode 98. As episode 100 approaches, we want to celebrate with our listeners, so be on the lookout for more info that we have. And I can say proudly that we will be having friend of the show, Talon, back on the show for episode 100, so stay tuned for that. That'll be exciting, and we are trying to hopefully plan some sort of giveaway for you guys, but we'll keep you posted. So, Matt, you got anything else you want to add?
No, next week is our penultimate episode, so somebody's got to die, and then we run into the finale. So, let's...
Oh, one last thing.
Yeah.
One last thing. Go. You can listen to us on TuneIn, Podbean, Player FM, Stitcher, Podknife Network, Podcast Addict, Google Play, iTunes... And iTunes, any reviews on iTunes, I appreciate and help us grow the show. Thanks for listening. All right, Matt, sorry, go ahead.
That's it. No, I just be on the lookout. Next week is 99, and I think maybe next week we should have our, yeah, we'll announce what we're talking about on 100 next week. So
yeah,
look forward to that.
Figure something out. Yeah, yeah. We should do something fun. Maybe see if we can get like a little secondary thing with Willie going on.
Nah, he'll never come back. He thinks he's too good.
All right.
He's too
shit.
He's too Hollywood now. He's all obsessed with his body, and he's like, "Oh, I gained 5 pounds on my office job. Here's me doing Bowflex in my room." Oh,
I just read the Predator comics now. That's all I read.
Nah, he's too Hollywood for us now. Well, we can talk all about that on episode 100.
All right, you can do that.
Okay.
That's all I got, Matt.
Yeah, with that said, thanks for listening. Have a great week.
Peace.
Bye.